This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
All right, welcome back to Friends from Work. Wow, my voice sounds terrible and my breath is terrible. You probably don't ever have this, but I go some days where I don't talk at all. So that was like the first time I've opened my mouth since like 7:30
a.m. I have those days.
I just realized, wow, ooh, some Chipotle breath.
Most of the talking I've done today is just various versions of, hey, 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 it's okay. Hey, it's okay. Hey. We're good.
Hey. Shh. Go to sleep. And then you set her down and try not to disturb anything, so you back out as quietly as possible. We always laugh, like you back out as quietly as possible, then my ankles go like down the stairs or something. I'm like, don't hear it. Today is stepping
on the wrong side of the floorboards.
Today's a super big day. Well, we are about to watch the first ever teaser for Avengers Doomsday, and Robbie and I have not watched it yet, so we're going to hit play at the same time. I just got to say I have two feelings. One, I do feel kind of nervous. For some weird reason, as you were logging on, my heart was like beating fast. I don't know why, but here we are.
Should we give a bit of background on what's going on with these teasers before we jump in?
That was my second thing. Let's talk about that first before we hit play. It's been hard for me to decipher online because so many different rumors have been leaking for like a year. And so I just kind of have shut that down. So I never know, like when Daniel RPK, when he posts, I never know if that's confirmed or, you know, sometimes he'll just post like eyeballs, you know, and then sometimes it's so like, I get lost in the weeds.
Right.
But my understanding is, I guess what they're doing is four separate 1-minute teasers a week apart, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, all four of them are before Avatar. Each one's different, a week in.
I think that's right. Which does seem targeted at me. Like it's like someone at Disney wanted to create a plan just to torture me.
I texted our Disney contact. I was like, is there any way we can get the trailer early? She never responded, but now this was it. She's like, nope, Robbie has to go to Avatar four times. That's how he sees it.
Well, and aside from the Doomsday stuff, isn't there also supposed to be the first teaser for, or the first, not teaser, we've gotten a teaser, but a full trailer for The Odyssey before Avatar?
I've heard something longer. Yeah, like a prologue or something, right? They're showing like minutes of it, I thought.
Oh, wow.
Again, man. Who knows? And then Brand New Day is coming soon, apparently. Some clip.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of weird that, well, it's always strange with the Spider-Man movies because of the Sony thing, but like, obviously, Brand New Day is coming out like 6 months earlier than Doomsday. So it is funny that we're getting a Doomsday look before we get anything from Brand New Day.
Well, if you remember, I think Doomsday was supposed to be May originally. And so my guess is they were hard to make sure that they were done then. Then they thought, we need some more time, pushed it back. And so in some ways, I think they're actually ahead of Spider-Man in timeline.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just got to say this one time.
Finished filming and everything, right?
Spider-Man just finished, I saw like a few days ago, which is actually after Avengers. And they're both doing reshoots, right. But I'm guessing Avengers reshoots will actually happen before Spider-Man reshoots. I just got to say this. I am almost always, we're both positive guys on this podcast, so positive. I kind of hate what I'm about to do. I'm so excited for this trailer, and I don't know, this just feels weird to me. The whole thing feels weird. I want one trailer to drop, call me old-fashioned, that blows up on YouTube, gets a billion plays, versus like even this episode, like when is this going to come out? On Thursday afternoon, and only the people that went to Avatar can watch it. I don't know. I don't know. Am I crazy? I mean, I understand like trying to draw it out, but it feels weird to me. That's all.
I kind of see both sides of it. I think I'm mostly with you. I don't love when something feels so calculated. Like, I mean, obviously Disney has Avatar and Disney has Avengers Endgame, and those are both the biggest movies ever. And also, I don't think we've talked about this yet, but Endgame is coming back in theaters next year. And maybe we did.
So hopefully it passes Avatar.
Because they're now playing the same James Cameron game until he then puts Way of Water back out in China. But
yeah, sure.
I there's something about that just feels a little cynical to me. On the other hand, Candace pointed out, you know, if this is like the fact that they are limiting this to movie theaters is potentially a boon to movie theaters, you know, at a time where they always need it. And maybe it does create this kind of like, you have to be in a theater to experience this properly. And, you know, I always value a, like, you're either there or you're not there kind of a moment, like make it matter. And so if that is what they're doing here and it becomes something where, you know, I'm sure there will be some version of this that hits YouTube in the next month or so, whether it's the, you know, once like one of these clips is done and they play the next one, or whether it's all of it.
When number two is airing, will number one be online? And then when number three is airing, will number two be online? Maybe.
Well, and like, do people, again, I'm going back and forth because I love that in theory. What I'm curious about, though, is like, do people that are not as dialed in as we are, is there any chance they are going to be able to track this? Like, how is the average person going to learn that if you go to Avatar week to week, you're going to get a different segment of the trailer? And then how many of the average people can set aside the time to either go, like diehards, I'm sure will just go, even if they just go for the trailers and then leave. But the average person, like, are they going to want to spend money on a ticket to just do that? And then otherwise, are they going to go and watch what I'm assuming is a very long movie, because all the Avatar movies are long, four times.
Yeah, three plus. Yeah.
To see them all.
The answer is no.
I don't know.
It partially works for someone like me, because I probably wouldn't have gone to Avatar, and now probably over break I will one time, to be honest. So
one time though, but like then why not?
I know, you know, but like, I can't afford. I don't have you have like Alamo Draft House, whatever movie pass. I don't have anything like that, so I'm not going to drop $18 a person, you know, each week,
exactly,
just to see the trailers. That's what I mean, and leave. Though. Yeah, I know,
and
I know.
You are a diehard,
like yeah,
right. So I wonder like. It's also just interesting because to do this with Avatar, where like of all movies, is this the one that you need more eyes on? Like, are they worried that they need that it won't have legs or something? I don't know.
Or maybe
it is just like
maybe it's a big boost for the international market because Avatar always does well internationally. And so maybe it's just getting China to pay attention to Avengers Doomsday, potentially. Because I do know that there have been some mixed things internationally with the MCU Phase 4 and 5 films. I don't know what it is. Like, some of them weren't playing in certain theaters. You remember this? Like, there's been some stuff for a few years. So maybe this is, like, their attempt to get that crowd back. Either way, that's how it's happening. We'll discuss at length once we see it. I think I want to watch it. I want to talk about it.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, I'm ready.
Okay, we've literally never seen this. We're going to try to hit play at the same time. I won't talk a ton the first minute, so if you're listening on a podcast, a lot of silence here. Here we go, Robbie. I guess I'll go 3, 2, 1, 0, and on zero hit play, okay?
Yep.
Tell me if you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm going.
Well,
okay,
actually, wait, let me make sure volume's good.
There was such a pause there, I didn't know.
Well, I was sitting here thinking, like, how am I going to know how... Okay, I'm just gonna try, and if it's not making any sound, then I'll raise a flag.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Wow.
It's the Endgame house.
Well, it's Steve Rogers' house.
Whoa.
And Steve Rogers holding a baby.
What a liar he is.
Wow.
That's all it is.
Wow.
That's all it is. Okay, now I see why they're doing it this way.
And that's enough. Wow.
Shoot. It's a clock. That's so funny. Okay, I do. Okay.
Wow.
We maybe should have watched that ahead of time. Because that all makes sense to me now, right? Like now, okay, so they're probably not expecting everyone to go to each one. It will just confirm some other castings each time.
That's fun. Okay, yeah, that's fun then. And then maybe they, if that's the case, if it's not like a segment of something that connects, but they're just each separate little glimpses.
His motorcycle says Triumph, and I thought it said Trump. I was like, no. his he's driving a Trump motorcycle. It says Triumph. I had to double check. There we go.
Is there such a thing as a Trump motorcycle? I don't know.
There probably should be, to be honest.
I think Triumph is that is like a motorcycle brand.
Okay, so the one thing we can really react to is Chris Evans is a liar. Right?
Wow. I mean, okay.
Captain America guy, here we go.
Couple things. One, yep. I think Greg pointed out, someone pointed out, Chris Evans had a baby the same day that we had a baby.
Wait, they share a birthday?
They do. And now look, on screen.
And Steve Rogers did too, apparently.
Yeah. So, okay. That's, let's like play this out. So
please,
setting aside the multiverse stuff, because that could mean literally anything. If we take that at face value, that means what? Just that Steve does go on to have a kid who I guess exists now
as an adult, right?
Yeah, so I guess he would be, like an older adult in modern, like in current MCU time, right?
Unless he died for some reason. So it's what? Endgame is ish. I'm going to be rough with this. 2019 or 2020, right? Is about when it's supposed to have happened in the MCU,
I think the end is supposed to be 2023.
2023.
It's Infinity War is 2018, and it's 5 years later.
Okay, so assuming this is the same Captain America and not a multiversal one, he goes back to, when he goes to travel with the stones, he goes back to, I guess it'd be like 1946-ish to stay with Peggy, right? Post World War II.
Yeah.
Which is 45, right?
Yeah, I guess we don't get an exact date, I don't think, but I think I always thought somewhere like late 40s.
Or maybe really early 50s, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, 1950. So he has this baby now in 1950. So let's say that baby's really young. Let's say it's 1951. So yeah, mm-hmm. If everything went normal, the next time we saw Captain America in Endgame, he's older. So that means his baby would be 51 to, we're talking like
70
years old-ish.
Yeah.
And he would be like 90 or 100. He'd be like 100-ish, 105.
Yeah.
But hey, all the years of Frozen, you know?
Maybe Dr. Doom's out there just stealing all these super babies.
Yeah. Is there precedent for Captain America or Steve Rogers ever having a baby? In the comics?
Not in the main timeline that I can, not in a way that I think would correspond to this.
He doesn't have like a famous superhero
no,
son.
No, I mean, there are a couple plot lines that I could see them playing with, but I in terms of the, like, the main continuity, no, I mean, it's, but, you know, part of that is you never really, like, Steve's man out of time thing is always, it keeps him from ever being able to settle down in that way. And that's kind of the tension, and Endgame broke that cycle by letting him do that. And so in some ways it makes sense that you see this, but then it's like, it's such an interesting, I think it's a really interesting choice to pair that with the Steve Rogers will return in Avengers Doomsday, because there's nothing about him having a baby that would make him more or less likely to get involved in whatever, like, big final battle thing this is, right?
I think less likely, like, he would not want to fight because now he has a family and a different purpose, unless his baby's in danger or something. You know, this is also interesting because, so is Dr. Doom, or however they're getting around, they're also not only multiverse hopping, but they're time traveling, right? Because I'm assuming when it says Steve Rogers will return, they're not meaning the 100-year-old version.
Right.
So Dr. Doom is meeting him in 1950s in this world, but, like, Yelena is the 2024 world. Or five, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, although, I mean, and this is maybe going too deep here, but I'm just trying to think, under the Endgame theory of time travel, isn't it like every time you travel back in time, you're creating a new timeline? So isn't there now, like, I mean, because I think that was one of the questions we used to have, like, how does Steve Rogers wind up there to give the shield to Sam? Like, is he living, did he live his whole life in the background, or did he somehow travel over from some alternate timeline that he lives in? Because right. Shouldn't he be in a timeline where Steve was never frozen? Like, so nobody would know who Captain, like, Steve Rogers, like, right. in his timeline, right? Like, Steve wouldn't have ever fought in the Battle of New York.
Or for a brief second, there's two Steves, right? Like, in 2012, there would be two Steves. There'd be one that's 35 years old or 33 years old or whatever, fighting in the Battle of New York. And at the same time, there's one avoiding all of that who's 90, let's, right?
Or, oh, that's, you know, true. That's true. Because
maybe. Yeah. And that's, again, this is part of the problem, I think, with Loki, all the timeline. This is the complication of it. So, like, yeah, the TVA's response was, then we're going to go in and we're going to get rid of the one where he gets to live his old life, because that's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not how it was. So there's not two of them running around there.
Because, yeah, okay, right? So you're right. He would have, no, so he would have gone back while Steve Rogers is frozen, and then Steve Rogers that we know goes and lives, you know, from 50 on or whatever. But isn't that still
the other part that doesn't make sense? Well, the other part that doesn't make sense is that in the TVA is supposed to be outside of time, which our human minds can't wrap our mind around, because we're still looking for a point where it changes.
Right.
Because, like, if this movie was happening while the TVA was functioning in its old way, they would have come in and chopped the other timeline of Steve Rogers going back, putting them back there, yeah, and then living a life out. Like, when he decided to stay and, like, live a life, don't you think they would have trimmed it? But because it's outside of time, like, we don't know when they stopped trimming timelines, a la right. Loki season right. 2, right? So it literally doesn't make sense. You can't comprehend it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's true. And there's the kind of loophole of, like, some portion of whatever the Avengers did in Endgame was blessed by He Who Remains.
Right.
Does that include this or not? Like, I think you could probably make an argument either way, depending on what position you're wanting to take. But Yeah,
I guess putting them back makes sense, but Steve staying is what breaks it, right? Because if Steve then also time traveled back to the future and synced up with his one body, then nothing would have been different. That was their theory.
Yeah.
Correct?
Right.
But staying in the past is what messes us up now, because now there's two Steves. AKA, either there has to be two timelines, or there's two Steves alter, like, they're happening in the same universe, but they just maybe don't try to come in contact with themselves, a la, like, you know, Back to the Future kind of thing.
Yeah.
Am I making sense at all or not?
Yes. No. No, you are. I think I'm just thinking now, gosh, a year or more ago when we had that conversation about the potential like Avengers Forever theory that I had, where they is the famous Avengers storyline from the late 90s, 2000, where a lot of like different versions of Avengers from kind of throughout their history are pulled together to fight this fight. It involves Kang, and there's a lot going on, but the idea is essentially like, oh, here's Captain America from, you know, the 80s that's going to fight with this version of Hawkeye from the 90s or whatever. And so you wind up with all these characters that exist from different points in their timelines, not alternate versions like multiversal, but just like different points along the same timeline. So like I'm thinking back to that, and what I'm trying to figure out now is this going to be a, like, is this that? Like, is there something now where we're going to get somehow like this version of Steve pulled back in for some reason to be a part of some team of Avengers from like across time? It can't be a fake out, right? Like, I think that they would make people so mad if it's like, oh, it's Steve Rogers, but it's not the Steve Rogers you know. It's like an evil Steve Rogers or something. And I don't know why they would show the baby, if not to kind of show that this is us picking back up with the version of Steve that we kind of left off with, where he gets to go and have a happily ever after life.
You know, what's even weirder to think about on that is, if they didn't prune the Steve who went back in time's timeline, then there is technically a moment where Steve Rogers, as we know him, is fighting Thanos in Avengers Endgame, while a 60 years older version is just down the road, purposely not getting involved. You know what I mean?
Right.
Technically.
Which
I guess he knows they're going to win.
But I guess. Yeah, but even that is so strange to me, because like when you're talking about the Back to the Future stuff, like that's why it doesn't, it's hard for me to wrap my head around, because the idea is it's supposed to create a new reality at any time you have something, or a new timeline or whatever terminology is appropriate. Like every time you have someone time travel in that way. So to me, it doesn't seem like it should be possible to have two.
Yeah. So maybe it is a totally different timeline. There's not two. And the old guy who goes back tries to hit some of the key events that he was still a part of in a similar way. Or I'm trying to think if he would even know. Yeah, he should know, but even though it's a new timeline, he should still have the memory of where he was, right?
Or right, maybe not. Right. I mean, maybe the and second I guess he goes like, back. I mean, I guess there's a period of time where like you have both Gamoras existing in at the same time for a while, and both Nebulas or not both Gamoras, both Nebulas, both Tonys and Steves, you know, in Endgame when they're going back. So I guess it is possible for some period of time. I guess the question is just like, what's the point of Steve letting everything proceed? Like why not at that point, if it is creating a new timeline, why sit back and let people die that don't necessarily have to die? Like, why not say,
okay,
like,
what
hey,
if, what if he doesn't? What if that's what causes the incursion? Is that he knows, like, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and he goes out of his way to prevent it. And so technically now this is a new timeline version that we're watching. It's not the same, like, Civil War MCU. Yeah. And he, like, prevents that each step of the way, and maybe that's what's pissing off Dr. Doom or nature.
Yeah, yeah. Or I don't know, maybe it's the, like, I could see Steve Rogers going either way. Like, I think Tony would for sure change things. Like, he would be of the mind that, like,
on like this day,
I don't
this
think
happens.
He would be able to help himself. But I think, like, maybe Steve would think that's not his place and he shouldn't, you know, he wants to try to change as little as possible and just live his life and not get involved at all. And he knows that things ultimately turn out all right in the end. And
so I have
and
two
maybe
other
it's
questions.
Too much of a risk by like if you never have, like, you could stop S.H.I.E.L.D. from ever experimenting with the Tesseract, and maybe that prevents, like, the first invasion, but then that also prevents the founding of the Avengers, and maybe you need the Avengers, and if they're not there, then there's some other catastrophic thing that happens, and there's no one to fight them. So it's like, maybe he's just like, I'm not even going to pull on that thread.
There are definitely movies like that too, where anytime you mess with something, it then just creates another ripple effect that you can't prevent. So
the
argument could be made to just sit the whole thing out. Like, this is how it happens. You can't do anything about it. But again, then it's super weird because you're there and you're not supposed to be there in the first place then. Two other questions. I'm going to assume that this is the Steve Rogers we know from the MCU, like the MCU main timeline, the sacred timeline, just because technically that Steve Rogers hadn't died yet. So that makes sense for me. Do you think that you will see Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow? And do you think that Robert Downey Jr. will play a version of Iron Man as well as Doom? That there will be cameos from those characters through a multiversal trip where they're like the characters we know from a different universe?
I can't tell with Natasha. Like, I wouldn't be surprised, but I also kind of feel like, I don't know, it's a little bit different, even in that we got a, like, Natasha died, you know, and it was like she can't come back, and there was a lot made of that, and we had, like, a Black
Widow
movie.
It wouldn't be that version, though, I'm saying.
Well, but I just mean, like, I creatively, like, it seems like there's, you know, like, the door was always kind of left open with Steve. Like, it was a great ending, but there was always the idea that you could go back and play with that if you wanted to. So I could see it being fun if you, you know, maybe you also have, like, if you do have some reunion of the original six in some form, that would be really fun. But the other problem with that to me is, I don't know. I don't think I would want Robert Downey Jr. As Tony Stark and Doom. Like, if he weren't Doom, then 100%, I think that they would find a way to bring him back, because it would be a huge thing of bringing back the big two leads, like we were just talking about in our last discussion. But I think, like, it would really be a strange, like, so much of the draw here, I think, is, what is this? Like, what does it mean for him to be Doom? Is it kind of Iron Man? Is it not Iron Man? So I kind of think they need to put all of their eggs in that basket and not, like, it just feels like it would kind of water it down if they're like, we have two RDJs now.
For sure.
Unless,
it's just so strange, because you're bringing back the two, I mean, again, back to our original discussion, you're bringing back the two leads, but one is playing a different character. The guy who founded this entire universe is now a different character. So it just feels like they have to do some tie. Like it's got to be some relation to Iron Man. Otherwise, and this is possible, that they are literally just choosing him because they want Robert Downey Jr. But to say there's no connection to Tony Stark is kind of strange for fans to truly recast him as an actor.
Well, just because interesting. Like, I think about when they first announced this and I think like Feige and the Russos and RDJ were all talking about how it happened. I always remember them saying that Robert kind of initiated this and called them and said, I have this idea for how I could come back. And that the way that he pitched it and then the way they started talking got everyone so excited that they all got on board. And I don't like that makes it sound like he had a specific in, and I don't think that you like if he were just like, hey, I want to play Professor X,
a different
X
character.
Now. Yeah. Yeah. Right, and they were right. Just like, okay, that's fun. Like new Robert Downey Jr. role. Like that's not a big swing creative role. That's just, hey, we're recasting him now as someone else. So I have to think that he saw an angle here. And then I think like back to what you and I talked about way back with like, I don't know if it is something where his doom is somehow connected to Tony Stark, like maybe it is something where like someone is assembling people that have been able to like go toe to toe with Tony in the past, or people that know Tony really well, or versions of Tony that can hopefully help stop him. And Steve would be like, you know, he did beat Iron Man, you know, in Civil War at the end. Like he could have killed Tony there at the end if he were a different kind of person. So it would make sense if they're trying to do something like that, where it's like, and it would also kind of be compelling, I think, because he and Tony end their relationship in such a great place, but it was always a really complicated thing. And so for Steve to have to now like reckon with the kind of version of Tony that he was always a little bit afraid of, like, I don't know, like maybe like there could be some really interesting tension there. Like, I don't know that there's really anything to be gained thematically by just putting Steve Rogers from the 616 next to Tony Stark from the 616 and just letting them, you know, hug it out again, because we had really great
sure not that
closure
not
there, you know? So like, I kind of think if you're going to do it, like, I just don't know if there's anything there that wouldn't be just a straight kind of nostalgia, like fan servicey thing. But if you do this, where it's, you know, Steve has watched Tony die in this really moving way, and, you know, now has spent enough time away to where he's had a kid, so at least like a year or something, he's now brought back and comes face to face with someone that will, I guess, at least look something like Tony, depending on like what the facial scars are.
Right. So like when Dr. Doom, whether there's a Tony Stark or not, you know, when he takes off his mask in front of Yelena and Bucky and Captain America, both Sam Wilson and Steve Rogers, right? When he reveals that, are they all going to go, what the heck? They have to, right? Because they're going to recognize the face a little bit. They're going to be like, "Well, and I mean, dead.
It has to be... There, you know, it's been kind of depicted to the extent Doom's face is ever shown, like, or discussed, the level of scarring changes. But I mean, there are certain, like, there's a shot you get in Secret Wars, the 2015 comic, where his face is like, basically like doesn't have a nose, you know, it's like so like horribly scarred.
A la then, Walton Goggins in Fallout, basically.
Yeah. 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 But like, again, you can't do that, because at some point it's like, if you can't recognize him as as Tony. I mean, unless he just kind of, explains something to them, or unless his like version of the Doom suit that we actually see in the movies, aside, you know, like we've seen some promo stuff, but maybe right. It's so recognizably Stark Tech that it like tips people off that know what to look for.
I just even want to hear
something that's a Tonyism.
Exactly. I was going to say, I just want to even hear his voice in one of these teasers. Yeah. We don't even know what he sounds like yet. I want to hear, is he intentionally trying to do a different tone, or is it that behind a mask, like Tony Stark behind a mask? You know, we don't even know that.
Yeah.
I think the second him one time or hear him speak will be very informative.
Do you about think
the tie there?
I mean, so, okay, now we've got this like the, you know, which is a big one in terms of like the Steve Rogers reveal has been, it was broken, then it was kind of backtracked, and it's been all over the place since, like, what was that real or not? And now it's obviously real. My prediction would be that maybe the next two teasers are a glimpse, like a, maybe there's kind of like an X-Men-y one, and then maybe there's something that's like other, either like Fantastic Four or something else.
Or the Fantastic Spider-Man Four with or the Thunderbolts, because remember that ship was coming in. Maybe they together are interacting. But then I guess my hope would be that the fourth one is a legit trailer. That would be kind of fun.
Or
like Doom is in it. Yeah.
Even if there's just a minute of Doom, I think that would be like, that would be the thing.
You know, I take that back. That is what it's going to be, because it's still too far out. There will be like a full trailer next summer, like with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Or maybe even if that ties at all, they don't want us to see the full trailer until Spider-Man's done. So yeah, it'll probably just be Doom and maybe a shot of like his background for a split second, you know, like him working on something or whatever. And then it will end with Doom and it says Doom will return, blah, blah, or Herb will arrive or whatever. You're probably right. That's what it is. And then there will be a full trailer next year. Yeah. Okay. I got to pick up my daughter from school. Otherwise, I'm going to be late. This is fun. This is going to be a different experience. So I'll just say to our listeners, check us out on Friends From Work Plus, because I'm putting episodes out over there. But it's now going to be Christmas break-ish, I think, for almost everybody. The whole world by me is basically shutting down already. So we won't be on here for a little bit. But I think I'm going to travel with my microphone to Michigan just in case like one of the teasers is insane and we got to talk about something. Otherwise, we'll be back definitely in January with the friendlies and bold predictions and then Wonder Man. So,
and I know we jumped right into the questions. I mean, I am excited by this. This is good news to me, because like we said last time we talked, like Endgame is Endgame. You're not going to disturb it in my mind. Like you're not going to ruin it by doing something else with it. And I do think Chris Evans as this character is uniquely good, especially in this context. So I'm all for it. I'm excited, and I'm excited about what I think this could mean for the movie that's coming together. It also makes me more excited about this approach, to your point.
Well, and I was going to say, go listen to our episode that you're referencing from 2 weeks ago, because we actually did talk about a lot of this stuff. You know, we didn't know this was the teaser, but we kind of talked about some of this stuff in that episode 2 weeks ago. So go check that out. Thank you for subscribing. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time here on Friends From Work. Merry Christmas.
This isn't just a game, it's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100 year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.